in the name of the Lord. Let's welcome Ruth Mangiacopri. She brings the word tonight.
I'm just excited to be here because I realize how much I love to be with intercessors and prophetic people. I'm right at home. And I really felt like the Lord wanted to thank you. That very few of us ever hear thank you. Because we're at home, we're in the caves, right? We're in the hidden places, we're in the prayer closets, or we just learned how to live that consecrated life. And we don't look for accolades because we know that we've chosen the better part. So the Lord wants to just really thank you. Amen. He calls you friends. Nothing on the earth would be accomplished without you. Right? People would remain in bondage. Nations would remain in turmoil. And we still see nations in turmoil, so we still have work to do. But I love what Brother David said, that it's a new perspective, a new paradigm for prophetic people and intercessors, and prophets and intercessors. They go hand in hand like bread and butter. So I remember early on, I didn't care anything about being a prophet. I just loved my place of intimacy with the Lord. And today, to this day, that's really all I care about. I took a part-time job this year teaching transitional kindergarten. And the only reason I took it was because they gave me the afternoon session. I says, I got to have my mornings. And that doesn't mean that I'm face-to-face praying in tongues for 3 hours. It just means that I keep myself separated unto the Lord because you are priests of God. Amen. You know, the priest, he served the Lord and he stood in the gap. And he understood about what it meant to turn his back, so to speak, on the cares of the people. Amen. And I think though we carry burdens and we carry the cares and the heart of the Lord, we learn through boundaries and through just wisdom in life that we are not the carriers, that the Lord is the burden bearer. Amen. But yet he does call us to bear burdens. We can learn how to bear burdens without bearing burdens. Does that make sense to you? So there's a lot of things going on in the kingdom today. And one thing I do want to share with you, I felt like it was an assignment. I hate to say there's assignments from the enemy because I really don't even deal with them anymore. But I know there are assignments. And one of the assignments is to keep our souls stirred up. So we have to avoid drama and chaos in our lives. And you will find that when drama and chaos comes knocking at your door, that you need to refuse it. It can be around you, but don't let it get in you. And you have to keep yourself consecrated unto the Lord. And I found this week I was drawn up into a place of chaos and drama in my own home, not through anything that I really wanted, but I found myself caring for my mother-in-law for 3 days, and she really needs 24-hour care. She needs skilled nursing, and Lord knows I'm not a skilled nurse, but I love my mother-in-law. So I felt like for a short season I could take this on, and then within 3 days, all the unsaved relatives, they were documenting everything we were doing, and they were even recording my phone conversations. I mean, it turned into like this crazy thing. And then I realized I don't live like this. I can't stay in this place. So I left my home and I drove down Wendover in Greensboro, and I left my house and I was crying. I said, Lord, through any trial and any situation, the last thing I want to do is I don't want to be a martyr and I don't want to be negative. I really don't. I don't want to be a martyr and I don't want to be negative. And I found that day I was a martyr and I was negative. So I'm driving down the street and I'm crying and I'm going, Lord, where do I go? You know, I drove over to my friend's house and we just went before the Lord and we said, Lord, send breakthrough. We didn't have to get on our face. I didn't have to fast. I just said, Lord, send breakthrough, because I understand the authority that prophets have. I understand the spiritual authority that our decrees and our words mean. And within 5 minutes of saying, Lord, send breakthrough, and I was in agreement with a friend, my husband called and he said, baby, come home. My mother's gone. And it didn't mean that she went to home to be with Jesus. It meant that another family member came on. And I was more than willing to do that. But I knew that it was not my assignment. And see, we have to discern what our assignments are. And just, we even in carrying them as prophetic intercessors, there are assignments that God has assigned to us, and there are assignments that sometimes we think are assigned to us because we try to carry the whole world. He's got the whole world in his hands. I don't need to keep the whole world in my hands. Amen. So I think there's some wisdom in that.
Come on now.
But anyway, I did write a book. I know they always want me to push this because I never push anything that I write or do, or I don't sell anything. Push. Okay, thank you, Melissa. Prophetic Journey, it's about just walking this life and learning the ebbs and the flows of the prophetic ministry as it pertains to us as people. It's not how to prophesy. Lord, there's a million books out there like that. It's just my story and the internal and external things that I went through to become a prophetic person, to become a prophet. It's a daily walk with God. So there's things in here on the watchman and the intercessor and, you know, the word of the Lord. And, you know, it's my journey. It's when I was a little girl, you know, God calls us before the foundations of the earth. I was weaved together in my mother's womb as a prophet. And as a young child, without having anyone train me, because I was the first one that was a believer in my family, without that understanding of who I was in the spirit, I took on, because as a seer prophet, I took on everybody's emotions. I took on everybody's chaos. And I felt like it was me. I said, Lord, I owned it. I felt like that was who I was. But little did I know that I was growing in the gift of discernment, unschooled in it. I took it on and I actually became neurotic. I actually became unstable. I spent 10 years in a psychiatric office. And anyway, so it was just the making of a life. And then I learned years ago, oh, if somebody had mentored me, I probably could have avoided all those pitfalls, right? So I believe that, you know, when I say older generation, I mean those of us that have been probably in the kingdom of God for 10, 20, 30 years, we have a responsibility to mentor the next generation and to mother them and father them and to create a safe haven for them, because in security we grow, in comfort we grow. Most of the time, the experiences that we have that bind us as adults, it really was back to lack of nurture, because we all experience trauma at some point in our lives. And all we needed at that point in time was someone to comfort us. Someone to comfort us. And if you didn't have a mom at home, like my mom worked, my mother loved me, but she wasn't home. My dad wasn't there. I had no comfort in those dark moments. So we can be a source of comfort, which is what Holy Spirit is. He is the comforter. And if we cultivate intimacy with Holy Spirit, we will grow in a sense of security. And in that place of security, we will fulfill our destiny. So if people around us, this next generation, the millennials and below, I don't know all the XYZs of what they're called. It used to be the older generation and the younger people. Now everybody has an alphabet to it. Right? So anyway, if we will be that source of comfort to them and make that safe haven for them, we will see the next generation rise up as Joshua's, as Jeremiah's. And I really believe that some of what we did not step into, that we get to be that mother, that nurturer, you know, we can co-labor with Holy Spirit to raise up that next generation. So I'm really excited about that. And where's Lenora? Did she leave? Oh, she's outside. She's one of my spiritual daughters. But anyway, I just love what God does in prayer and intercession. We've learned a new way to pray, and I say that nowadays it's creativity. I carry this. This is my little prayer box. And I said, Lord, you know, people say, oh, would you pray for me? And you go, yeah, and then you don't. You forget about it, right? We say the right things. Would you pray for so-and-so? Would you do this? I said, Lord, who can remember everybody? And I don't want to be a liar and say that I'm going to, and then I forget, right? So what I've done, when God puts someone on my heart that is an assignment for me, and you'll get to recognize your assignment by having a compassion or a passion or a love for a person or a burden, I will write their name on here, and I have probably 150 names in here written on tiny little. I mean, sometimes I'll write. I took a waitress's name and I wrote it in such, because I wanted to squeeze it in there. So my intercession for people is now, when God brings them to my remembrance, I hold them close to my heart. And because of the burden of the Lord and the compassion that He's given me and the assignments He's given me for certain people, this has the same power, the same effect, the same impartation as if I was fasting and praying for 10 days. So as intercessors, what do we do? All we are is we are receptors of the heart of God.
Yes.
That's what we do. We are receptors of the heart of God. So if we will position ourselves to allow God into that place where he can share the things that are on his heart with his friends, according to John 15, we are his friends. And he values telling us his secrets. So it's not only about listening for a prophetic word, it's positioning yourself as a receptor of his heart. And you can release his heart in any creative way that you desire to. The key is that you grab hold of it, you hold it, and then you release it. Years ago, the way we would release it would be through lengthy prayer meetings, 3, 4, 5 hours of praying in tongues, warfare. You know those days, right? We loved it at the time, but to revisit an old wineskin, for me, is completely exhausting. Now, unless there's a grace upon me, I find myself praying in tongues internally or verbally, probably a good part of the day, because I've just learned that is who I am. And I believe that you are too, that there is an inward travail that perhaps no one ever hears. It's an inward travail because you have allowed yourself to be a receptor of the heart of God. How do we do that? We let God love us. We position ourselves to have encounters with God. We learn the ways of God through our journey with him. You don't learn it overnight. It's wisdom. There is a wisdom that is deposited instantaneously, according to James. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. I have found that there is a wisdom that is situational, that's what that scripture refers to. If I'm in a situation and I need a quick answer, God is going to release a word of wisdom to me to be wise. In other words, wisdom is the mind of God. So I can grab hold of wisdom, but there is a wisdom that comes from time. Walking with God over the years, there's that wisdom that we grow in. So we grow in wisdom. We learn how to be wise in every situation. And help me, Jesus, because I just lost my train of thought. We learn to be wise in every situation, but there was something before that. Anyway, I had a lot going on today. I ministered all day long. But I couldn't wait to get here because I said, this is where I am home. My heart is at home in prayer with prayer warriors, with prophetic people, with prophetic intercession. What separates prophetic intercession from prayer is that prophetic intercession is initiated from God.
Amen.
All other prayer, we initiate. There's a prayer of supplication. It's an earnestness that a burden comes on us. We say, oh, please, please pray for me. Or please pray for my family member. They were just in a car accident. That's a supplication. You initiated that. Then there's a prayer that you're walking in the course of your day, and all of a sudden, a burden comes on you for Thailand. Lord knows that's not part of your everyday experience. You start thinking about Thailand. You start envisioning the people of Thailand. You don't know why you are. But you begin to pray for Thailand. Even if you're at work, you could stop and just put your head down. You could grab hold of what? A prayer box. You can do something creative that will release God's heart through you. And it will have the same power, same effect, same impartation, same result. Because God initiated it. You were the receptor and you did something. You released it. What happens in prophetic intercessors is we have authority because God initiated it, and you just so positioned your life to be a receptor. You had one ear toward heaven, and you took that on, right? You carried that, and then you released it. Years ago, we'd carry things and carry things and carry things, and I knew a woman one time. She said, please pray for my mother. She has taken on a burden for Israel. So much so that she stopped eating. And now she can't even digest food. I said, oh my gosh, that's a satanic assignment. That's not a burden bearer. That's, you know, it's taking on unnecessary. She felt like a false sense of responsibility as an intercessor. How many can relate with that? So God wants us to be free and yet carry burdens, right? When I say carry burdens, that you're carrying his heart. Sometimes his heart is heavy. Sometimes his heart is weepy. Many times his heart is joyful. Many times he understands the situation that's going on with divisiveness in our nation, divisiveness in the homes, divisiveness. Lord knows what's going on in the White House this week with all the crazy stories. There's division on every front. So in seeing there's division on every front, you can just say, Lord, make me a minister of reconciliation. And the very word, Lord, make me a minister of reconciliation, you can take that one word and decree reconciliation over the United States of America, and you'll be amazed that it will have the same power, the same effect, and the same impartation. So we don't have to view prayer with the old wineskin, right? We grab hold of what God is doing in the now. And as we are friends with God, hopefully we are discerning which way the wind is blowing, right? And I found the things that I used to do, I no longer have grace to do. And it actually seems tedious to me to, we've had a few prayer meetings at church, and one time we said, oh, this is old wineskin. And now when we go into a prayer meeting at church, we find it liberating. We find we come out of there joyful. Sometimes we're drunk in the spirit. Before we'd come out like, I'm the only one carrying the burden. Like Jeremiah, I alone am left. You know, and that's the position that we would take as if it was noble when actually it was bondage. So we have to view intercession from a place of creativity as prophetic intercessors. Does this make sense to you? Okay, and I wrote down some notes here because I really want to release some words and some impartation. I just really believe that the Lord is affirming you tonight. Amen. He's affirming who you are, what you do, and why you're even here. Yeah. Why are you here? Very few people will come to, now they'll go to prophetic conferences because they want a word, right? When they see prophets and intercessors, they see the word. Only intercessors will show up at an intercessory conference. Am I right? So I'm talking about finding your intercessory edge, right? Finding your personal place in intercession. And I say this, you have to be flexible, and yet you do have to be disciplined. Now, we don't like that word discipline, because sometimes discipline, if we think, oh, I have to be disciplined, it puts us into performance mode. Oh, it's something else I have to do. I'm not disciplined. Most people are really not disciplined. So now they come into the kingdom of God and they think that they have to write this agenda, this prayer list. They have to X out fasting days. And after 3 weeks, they can't. They say that it didn't work. Because we put too much self-effort into creating an intercessory lifestyle. Does that make sense? That's why most people will tell you, I get up at 4 a.m. and 6 to 5 o'clock, the third watch, the fourth notch, fourth watch of the night. When in reality, a few may do that. More often than not, most people probably don't. Am I right? We have good attempts. We have good, our intentions are right to do that. We'll do that for a season. We'll do that like before the election for 2 weeks. I could sleep. I couldn't eat. That was genuinely something that God was downloading to me. And I literally could not sleep. Other times I wake up in the middle of the night just because at that age, you don't sleep that good. Right. And I wake up and I could say, oh, the Lord's waking me up to pray. Really, within 10 minutes, I'm back asleep. So what I'm saying is find your edge. Find, and I am a morning person. The first thing I do when I get up, my husband always says to me, what time are you getting up tomorrow? I say, I don't know when I get up, but I usually get up about 7. I used to force myself to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I pray till 8 o'clock. But there was a grace on me when I was early a believer. There was such a grace on me. Why? Because I had young children. I was stuck home. I didn't have a car. My husband went to work. I had nowhere to go. Right? So I says, well, I'll do this. I'll pray. And that's really how I understood how much I loved prayer. But there's no grace in that season for me anymore. Now when I get up, I read my decrees that I wrote. And within 3 weeks, I saw three areas shift radically in my life because I was proactive. I literally wrote my own decrees. Many times people will, we walk around, I decree and declare. If you haven't received that word from the Lord about what to decree and declare, right, your breath is being wasted. So you can decree and declare all you want, but when God, when you line up with heaven, yes, and you have a burden, you have authority to decree and declare. And what I found now is God wants us to be proactive. He wants us to be a people that understand that faith can rise up in us. As intercessors, we understand friendship with God, and he loves that we co-labor with him. So I started writing my own decrees. And every day now I get and I say, now I added to the list. The other night I put number 11. I'm starting to hear now from the Spirit what else I can add to the decree. So that's a creative edge for me. I've never done that before. I wrote them every day. I literally say them out loud. And I go back and I see the results. Why? Because there is power in our declarations when God released the incentive and he released the knowledge on what to pray for. I'm so passionate about creative prayer. And it liberates people from thinking that they have to, that it's just a certain thing. Now, there is a mandate on this house for prayer. It's who you are, right? You will never run from who you are. It's who you are, and I believe that everybody in this room, it's who you are. So God is releasing a freedom and a grace to you to be creative and find your place and find what works, find what gives you joy. I spoke about this the other night on a mentoring call with some women, and I told them how I found this creative thing about decrees, and I'm loving it, and I'm seeing results, and I'm feeling really empowered when I'm reading my decrees. And then my friend on the other end said, I have found my intercessory edge in worship. She said, I worship, I sing, and I declare the song of the Lord over cities. She lives in New York. She's going up to Albany for the 24th, we're having the 50 states represented, the 10th. I don't know if is it all in the month of October? Or September. Okay. She's going to Albany. She said, I am going there to worship. But I believe that that's exactly what she's lining up with heaven and her own creative stirring. And she's joyful in doing it. And she will find fulfillment in that. I went to a workshop at Women on the Front Lines and Jim Gall was in there. And I love him. He has such a passion for watchmen, watch women and watch men. And he did a workshop on watchmen, the ministry of the watchmen. And sir, you're a watchman right here. Do you know that you're a watchman? Yeah. And all watchmen do is they stand and they watch. You stay in position. That's what watchmen do. They stand and they watch. Sometimes they don't like prayer meetings. I have a friend she's a watchman. She says, I hate prayer meetings. She said, but I love to stand and watch and discern. And it's like she's creating a barrier, a boundary around the presence of the Lord. See, before we used to create boundaries to keep the enemy out. Now we're creating boundaries, right, to steward the presence of the Lord. So you have to decide what your place is in the kingdom. Who are you? Who are you as an intercessor? Are you called to be a repairer of the breach? Are you called to intercede for the president? And seasons can change and seasons will shift. But overall, I say that one of the boundaries in prophetic ministry in 1 Corinthians 14, as prophetic people, we are to exhort, right? Encourage and comfort. Edify means to build up. When you say, I am a builder, intercessors are builders. They're not fighting Satan. They are builders. They are builders, and they watch and they put up a wall, a shield. They put a line around their lives, a line around the nation, a line around the territory, a line around their assignment. And then they're the guard, the guardian. They have the stewardship over that. They're protectors of the presence of the Lord. So anyway, so Jim Gohl, he spoke about how every type of prayer works. Every type of prayer. Very few of us will pray from... Now God is having us pray from obedience and not obligation. Obedience to what he's saying. Obedience to his heart. We have to keep our heart pure and yielded, undefiled, and we have to keep our ear tuned to heaven. We have to stand in the counsel of the Lord. So anyway, I'm just going to share a few things. He said there are prayers that all we do is we pray in tongues. I'm a tongue talker. I love tongues. I value tongues. I'm so grateful for the gift. I don't know what I would do without it. Amen. Tongues have a way of aligning us with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Because as your mouth utters a word, as your mouth prays in the Spirit, your tongue is like the rudder of a ship. And when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying in what? Heavenly language and language known on the earth. So you align yourself up. That's the power of tongues, is you're aligning with heaven. So the more you pray in tongues, the more you're going to find yourself being spiritually minded and growing in the sevenfold spirits of God. So tongues, pray in tongues. Then there is the prayer of meditation. There's the prayer of listening. 2 weeks ago, I went out to a Catholic prayer retreat in Stoneville. Anybody ever go there? You didn't know about it. Okay, I'm giving you a little secret. St. Francis Prayer Center. He was the saint who, he lived in a cave. And he found such solace in the cave that he could not adapt to society. He came to know the intimacy of God in this cave. And when he would come out, he would experience anxiety. He would go back into the cave and he said, I can't live here. What do I do? Because the cave was a place of absolute solitude for him. He said, God, when I come out of the cave, let me take the cave with me. So he learned this life of listening prayer, of solitude, of silence. He created this prayer retreat. There was prayer centers he created back then, and the Catholics would go to it. But this place in Stoneville is open to all. And I had a day of silence. And in that day of silence, I was still aligning with the heart of God. It was an internal alignment, not a spoken alignment. I found more power when I came out. I found more direction. I found more revelation about some issues that were concerning me and my family. I didn't speak. And I believe that meditation is a type of prayer that is a lost art. But what happens is it silences your soul. You'll be amazed at how much energy we expend by talking too much. Even in prayer, sometimes we associate prayer must be spoken. Yes, prayer, there is the spoken prayer. It's the prayer of supplication. It's the prayer of tongues. It's the prayer of declaration, decrees. But what about the other prayer? What about prayers of, I'm dancing my intercession, right? Prophetic dance is powerful, and it can be just as influential in the kingdom of heaven to change situations. Painting. You can paint your burden. You can paint the desired outcome. You can pen a poem that maybe the next generation will read, and there'll be such revelation on it that it'll change the next generation's heart. So there's a creativity now that God is releasing to us, that we are not stuck in the old wineskin. Then we know that there's prayer of agreement, right? That's as powerful too. I just need someone. Would you agree with me that such and so will happen? And there's power in agreement. Why? Because it's in the Word of God. If two or three agree on anything. The prayer of tongues is powerful, right? Because we don't know what to pray as we should. So what we do is we pray in tongues and we know that something is happening. But I would like to know what that something is. And most of the time, I don't really have the interpretation in my own tongue. But I pray in tongues because I sense a stirring of my spirit man, a building, a personal edification. So there's a variety of creative ideas that God wants to release to us. Find your place. I have found for me it's decrees, and for me when I have a burden for something and I can do this, I literally will go somewhere. We had a burden. Tammy, did you go with us to Washington? No. I know that Melody did, and Francis. We took a team. Donnie, you went. No? Okay, I've taken teams up to Washington, D.C. about four times as a result of a vision that someone had. And Lord knows, I don't know how to pray for the political air. I'm not a political person. I never was. But about 3 years ago, the Lord started giving me a passion for politics. For 1 year, I'm watching news. I'm reading articles. I'm praying for this one. I'm praying for that one. I had such a burden, and then a man came up to me, and he had a vision of me on a bench, and I knew that I had to go to New York City, and I decreed over Wall Street. We didn't go walk up and down praying in tongues. We went. And I believe that we, that was more powerful, that we went the day before. A friend of mine, she's a financial, not an analyst, stockbroker. And she said, this week, something serious is going to happen to the stock market. She said, like this week, and this was 3 years ago in September. And the other man had the vision, I said, of me sitting in a park bench. I said, that's Battery Park. And I said, we are going to New York. We went to New York. We stood on Wall Street. And we made a few declarations. We went down. You wouldn't have even known. We would have looked like tourists. We just went down there. We said, okay, we're standing here. We stood by the bull. And she went in. She was a broker. She had gone in weeks prior. And she said they let her ring the bell. It was like something that they get to do if they're going down like a tourist. She rang the bell and she said, I did this very intentionally. In God we trust. And I was done. So we went to certain places. We went to Washington. We went to Plymouth, Massachusetts. We went to Ellis Island. We went to Philadelphia. Everywhere the Lord said to go, we went and we declared freedom. And we took communion in certain places. We left. And when we left Philadelphia, within 45 minutes, a tornado went there. It was the first tornado that had gone through in 35 years. And I believe the Lord was saying, you girls have power. Yes, right. And I needed to see that because I said, sometimes you feel like this false humility. Oh, we went, we prayed. We have power. Right. When God gives the assignment, power and impartation is released. Right. So it's about hearing prophetic intercessors. They hear and they do. They go, they speak, they pray in tongues, they dance, they paint, whatever they do. But they hear and they respond. And that's what we do. There's a creative edge now coming forth in a new way to intercessors. So you can be creative. Find your niche in intercession, whatever it is. Let me see here what else he had said. Dreams release assignments. Pay attention to your dreams. They release very heavy assignments. Before Benghazi happened, who knew Benghazi was going to happen? None of us knew. But 9 months before that happened, I had a dream and I intercepted a phone conversation about Benghazi. I'm like, what do I do with this? But because I was a receptor of it, though I was sleeping, my spiritual man was a receptor of it. I called a couple of people that I was in relationship with that had some influence with Dutch Sheets and Cindy Jacobs, and I felt released when I gave it to them. Lord knows I didn't want it on me. I had to release that. So do whatever you can do. Be proactive to engage yourself. Be thrusted out into new areas of intercession and use wisdom in doing it. Use strategy. Because just because we receive revelation and we do nothing with it, many times we must do something. We must go. We must rally at times. I really believe that there is a prophetic call on the United... The church does need to be engaged in politics, right? Not because we know that we're of another kingdom. There's all different opinions on this. But when God is releasing his heart to his people about politics, we'd be in disobedience if we didn't engage. We would be. So it's not like, rah, rah, we need to do this now because we're a church. No, we need, if God is speaking this and he's releasing a burden to the multitudes in the kingdom of God, we need to rise up and engage. And it does not mean that we take either side or anything like that. We pray in accordance with the Holy Spirit. But we know there, I mean, a few months back I had a dream. And in the dream, President Trump, he said to me, I'm going to go ask God how long I have to live. And he turned and he faced the wall. And he turned back to me and he said, God said I'm going to live well into my 80s. So the next day, now everybody in the prophetic movement is writing out, pray, pray. People are having dreams about assassination attempts. And I'm like, I don't know if there's going to be an attempt, but this man's going to live well into his 80s. So I didn't take that burden on. Right. I didn't, because I understood. Now, it doesn't matter. It's not like, it's not a Trump thing. It's if a president was assassinated.
That's right.
I was on the earth when JFK was assassinated. It is one of the most devastating things that can ever happen to a nation.
Right.
It sends a nation into a place of, we have no protection. Right? I remember that. So we need to heed what the Holy Spirit is saying and not interject a personal opinion. Right? That's the key. So about creativity. Any comments on that? I just want to release a fresh... Oh, Shabarabasete. So if you remember anything, that we are receptors. He makes me laugh. That's why I love it. We can have fun. We are receptors of the heart of God. That's what we do. We are receptors of the heart of God. Define your assignments. Only take on the assignments that God gives you. And how will you know that? By a burden, right? Okay, God's releasing joy to this intercessor.
Amen.
And I really believe that we do. We come out of the prayer meeting now laughing and drunk in the spirit. Right? Years ago, we would have never done that. Because God is refreshing us. He understands that when you pour out, he's going to pour back in new wine.
Yeah.
So we are receptors of the heart of God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And heed, keep one ear tuned to heaven, but be your creative you. And however you can relate, how I'm okay with this. I think you got the point, right? You got all the points. Anyway, there was a book out, Benny Johnson wrote, The Happy Intercessor. That's it. Let's be happy. Let's be happy intercessors. So right now, I just want to release fresh creativity. You know what? You can laugh and intercede. Right? I had a little boy in my class one time. He said to me, I read a book about laughter. And I said, you don't have to call in sick anymore. I said, have your brother tickle you. Because laughter is good like medicine. Maybe we should do that. Maybe when people are sick, instead of going over and anointing them with oil, we just go laugh over them. We know what we're doing. They don't have to know what we're doing. Yeah. Okay, I'm done because this is just breaking out. Thank you, Lord, for refreshing. Thank you, Lord, for joy. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, that never again will we take on false burdens, false sense of responsibility, Lord. Oh, render, break every yoke that is self-imposed, that someone else imposed on us, every ungodly yoke. And we only take on and carry the yoke of the Lord, which is easy and light and joyful. But I thank you for creativity. I think I'm done. I'm not going to try and make anything happen. I'm like, I want to join them down there. So just stand up and just be a receptor. Just be a receptor. Yeah, just be a receptor. Ha ha. She ba 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 de 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 ya bye. Sha ba 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 ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Sho de ba ba ba. Receptors, 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 creative receptors, creative releasers. Yeah. Break up the fallow ground over this nation as we laugh in warfare. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you sing the Shema over us before we go? Can you do it? Do you think you can do it? Leonora, can you sing the Shema? That would be so awesome. If we can stand, if you can stand.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Keol, Malkuto, Leolam Vaed.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Thank you, Lord.